Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
I want to continue the Refresh series right now, that being our theme for 2014. And I love this theme, don't you? This resonates so strongly, and enjoying the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. That was wonderful just to stand and worship tonight and drink in His presence and to feel refreshed by Him. I want to talk to you this evening about what I believe to be the number one way to receive refreshing in life. And if you're taking notes, and I really encourage you to, even if you never look at these notes again, just the very act of writing or taking a few points down will reinforce those in your mind and in your spirit. And you'll remember a whole lot more than if you just sit there passively. So the title of the message, if you are writing things down, is Refreshed by Refreshing. Refreshed by refreshing. You see, refreshing is not about doing nothing. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm going to be refreshed, I'm going to do nothing. To live a refreshing life requires planning, it requires working smart, and it requires living a life free from selfishness. I found this on my day off. Christy and I try and take Friday off wherever possible. And on my day off, if I can get to the end of the week and I'm pretty tired and I think, oh, I'm just going to do nothing on Friday. And I get to the end of Friday feeling not refreshed. Why? Because I've not done anything. I've not planned anything. I've kind of meandered through the day, and I get to the end of the day feeling like I haven't really made the most of the day. I find the most refreshing days off are the days that I've made a few notes about things that I would like to do. Even if one of the things I would like to do is to go to a cafe, get a latte, and read the paper. And I'll make a note of maybe four or five things that I would like to see happen through the day, and I get to the end of that day and I feel refreshed by it. It's the same with living a life for others, not being selfish in life. And in fact, the Bible says that we are refreshed by refreshing. Jesus Himself said it's more blessed to give than to receive. That was written down a couple of thousand years ago. 3,000 years ago, Solomon said in Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. We're going to come back to that proverb in a few minutes' time. But first of all, I want us to go to read about a guy who knew firsthand about refreshing others. And we're going to go to the little letter of Philemon. I will give you about half an hour to find it. If you find the book of Hebrews, turn left. It's one page right before Hebrews. This is the shortest letter that Paul ever wrote. And he wrote it to a guy called Philemon. When I first became a Christian, I thought it was Philemon. I thought he headed up an orchestra. But later I just found he was instrumental in refreshing. And so, Philemon, have we found it? Splendid. Let's read the whole thing, shall we? Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So these guys were together in prison under house arrest in Rome. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. There's a whole series just in that one verse, that when you are active in sharing your faith, you have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. meditate on that verse through the week. And I'm sure all of us can remember times when you have been active in sharing your faith with somebody else and things come to you supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, of things that you have studied or maybe things that you've never studied, maybe you just read them in the Bible. But as you're speaking, you get this kind of idea that it's not just you talking, but God talking through you. And by the very act of sharing your faith with someone else, you get a greater insight into what you have in the person of Jesus. In verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Paul's doing a little bit of a play on words here, because in the original language, the word Onesimus, or the name Onesimus at least, means useful. And he, as Philemon's slave, used to be useless, and now he's become useful. In verse 12, I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my very own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I love the way Paul is writing here. He's using a little apostolic manipulation by the sound of it. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. He's already talked about how Philemon is refreshing. Now he's saying, I want to benefit from you, my refreshing brother. Verse 21, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, who later backslid, which is sad, part of Paul's team, Luke, the doctor, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. It's a fascinating little book, and I encourage you to read it and do a little bit of study into it. But the story in brief is that Philemon, who was a very godly man, Christian man, he and his wife and son had a church that met in their home. Their home was in Colossae. And if you remember the Colossian series that we did a couple of years ago, you'll remember that Colossae was just a very small little town with just a tiny little church that probably just met in a home or maybe a couple of homes. Philemon was one of the leaders, elders, or pastors of that particular church. And he had a slave called Onesimus. Now, remembering that in the culture of the day, slavery was just part of their culture. Philemon had a slave, Onesimus, who was supposed to be useful but became useless. And Onesimus stole some money from Philemon and took off to Rome. And there, some way, we're not told how, he met Paul while Paul was in prison. Maybe he'd heard of Paul and decided to go and visit Paul. And Paul led him to faith in Jesus. And Onesimus was so impacted by the gospel that his whole life was changed and transformed. And instead of being a useless thief, a runaway slave, he became a useful person to Paul and ministered to Paul, brought him food and helped him while he was in chains in Rome. But then, of course, Paul realized that he needed to do the right thing because he really was the property of somebody else and someone that Paul knew extremely well. that being Philemon. And so Paul is here writing a letter that he would send with with Onesimus to take back to Colossae to give to his master. And Paul is saying, he's stolen money from you. Whatever he owes you, put it on my account. I'll pay it back. But just remember that you owe me your very life. And I ask you, Philemon, to be gracious to Onesimus. He was your slave. He was useful, but he's now your brother in Christ. He was useless, and now he can become useful to you. But of course, remember that I would rather have him with me in Rome. That's a little theme that's running through all of this. It's a beautiful story. It's a story of grace. It's a story that each and every one of us have. We were the runaway slave that had sinned, and we'd found Jesus and been completely restored, and our lives have been 100% changed. But I want to focus on this man Philemon. What an incredible man he was. If you look back at verse 7, it says there, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints," or the hearts of God's people. Isn't it wonderful to be in the presence of a refreshing person? It is. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." The Hebrew word for refreshes others is ravah, R-A-V-A-H, ravah. And it means to quench the thirst. It's also translated in our Bibles as to bathe, to satiate, to satisfy, or to abundantly soak with water. All of those are beautiful, refreshing symbols. How lovely it is to have a refreshing bath. How nice it is to satiate your thirst on a hot day, a cold drink of water, to be satisfied, to be abundantly soaked. He who does that for other people will be refreshed. Fascinatingly, another Hebrew word is used for refreshed, and that is appropriately the Hebrew word yara, which reminds me of a refreshing river right here in Melbourne. If you jumped into the yara, you would be refreshed. You would also come out a different color. I spent a prayer retreat during the week at a retreat house in Kew. And on one of the particular afternoons, I walked down through Studley Park Boathouse and that stunning area of bushland that's about 5 minutes away from Melbourne city centre, and how refreshing that was, and to walk along the banks of the Yarra. And yes, it was still that beautiful mucky brown colour. But he who refreshes others will be refreshed. The word refreshed there, Yarra, Y-A-R-A-H, means to flow with water. It also is translated as arrow or an archer or someone who throws or casts or shoots or directs an arrow, which I think is fascinating. So he who refreshes others will be targeted with refreshing, just like a shooter would shoot an arrow. When you refresh other people, refreshing will target you. What a wonderful picture that is. Jesus spoke about it when he said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." If you are merciful to others, mercy will target you. Jesus also said in Matthew 10 and 42, "Whoever gives just a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I assure you, he will never lose his reward." In other words, if you look out for even the basic of needs of God's people, like we saw in our community care update, even as while you're shopping this week, you look for just one of the basic needs to be able to bring refreshing and blessing to somebody else, then God will target you. You won't lose your reward. C.H. Spurgeon put it this way: "The general principle is that in living for the good of others, we shall be profited also ourselves. This teaching is sustained by the analogy of nature, For in nature there is a law that no one thing can be independent of the rest of all creation. But there is a mutual action and reaction of all upon all. God has so constituted this universe that selfishness is the greatest possible offense against his law. And living for others and ministering to others is the strictest obedience to his will. Our surest road to our own happiness is to seek the good of our fellows. We store up in God's own bank what we generously expend on the behalf of our race. To get, we must give. To accumulate, we must scatter. To make ourselves happy, to get good and become spiritually vigorous, we must do good and seek the spiritual good of others. What a great statement that is from C.H. Spurgeon, the great revivalist. The Apostle Paul also articulated this truth. If you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and if we can have those who are doing some roving mics in just a moment, if you can have you guys ready, that would be great. We are ready with that, yes? Yes? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because we're going to get some feedback from some of you guys on this issue. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's read it from verse 6 to 10 and see what Paul is saying here. We're thinking about he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. So when we refresh other people, refreshing targets us. With that in mind, let's listen to these words of Paul that we've probably read or heard dozens of times. Pick it up from verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Think about what's targeting you by what you give out to others. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And then he tells us why, because God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you. So when you're scattering, when you're generous, when you're giving, I'm not just talking about giving in church offerings, I'm talking about living a life of generosity and refreshing other people. When you're giving out, look at the things that target you in life. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Wow! As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. So the context here is bringing refreshing to those who are less fortunate than us. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's amazing. How can you be a refreshing person? I want to ask you a question right now. When we say of someone, wow, that person is really refreshing, what do we mean by that? If you're to say that person's really refreshing, what would be one thing that you would think of about that person, why they're refreshing? Write something down, if you would. Or put it in your iPhone or your iPad. And then we've got a couple of roving mics, and we're going to spend, say, 2 or 3 minutes just going around the congregation. Not everybody, those who would like to give an answer to that question. If someone is a refreshing person, what does that mean to you? Just one thing. If you've got an answer that you'd like to share, if you'd like just to stand up, and Jacob and Nathan are going to whiz around. Come on, we want more than three. Be brave, be bold.
I think that when someone, you know, comes and refreshes you, the joy that they give to you makes you smile and feel fantastic. So then you go to the next person and you pass it on. So the more you do it, the more you pass it on.
That's beautiful.
Love is amazing.
Yeah. You're amazing, Patricia. Who loves Patricia? Patricia, you are a refreshing person. Every time I see you, Get one of those beautiful hugs. Way to go. Who's next?
Just. Well, to me, that person would definitely be a giver, undoubtedly a giver. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall man give unto your bosom. So that man would definitely be a giver, in my opinion.
Beautiful. Well, well said. Beautiful. Love it. Yeah. A generosity. Karen.
I think that person would be someone who had a zest for life and someone who was positive, who saw the positive in your life, you know, and could reflect that back.
Yeah, love it. James.
People who show, who ask how you're doing, who kind of show an interest in you. And, you know.
So people who go the second mile.
Yeah.
What else can I do? Love it. Johnny.
Yeah, positively encouraging, pretty well what was just said, where they lift out the good and the potential that lies in you and in the next situation you're coming in contact with. Good listeners.
Yeah, good listening. That's a really key one. Donna, let's get a mic to Donna. Who's going to be first, Nathan or Jacob? Who's it going to be? Come on.
I would say someone who is refreshing is someone who you leave uplifted and who is radiant with a glow.
So uplifting, radiant, love that. Jenny, let's wait for the mic. Jacob's going to win this time.
I think someone who's refreshing is they have a I can do it, give it a go attitude, try new things and are productive in what they're doing.
Yeah, love that, positive attitude. Anybody else? Yeah. Go for it, Celia.
The first thing I wrote down was funny. I just find funny people really refreshing.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Pete.
Give us your funny look, Rob. I think refreshing people are good finders. They don't look at the muck, they look at the good. And that's a very, very hard thing for all of us to do.
Yeah, well said. Looking for the positive. Yes, sweetheart.
They help you through the tough times.
Yeah, well said. Brilliant. That needs a clap. There's some really good feedback there. And it's, oh, sorry, Muriel.
Just one word, kindness.
Kindness. Excellent. I'm actually going to touch on that in just a moment as well. I'd like to give you two things before we finish up in this message, but I would love you to meditate during the week on that question. When someone is, we say that they're refreshing, what does that mean to you? And then Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. So whatever that is to you, refreshing, be that person to other people. Live that out. Incarnate that, put flesh to it and live it out in your community. Be that person. Don't be like Oscar Wilde said about two people. He says, some cause happiness wherever they go and some others whenever they go. Think about that for a moment. You know, we've all got people in our lives. How do you feel when that person is coming towards you? Because when they're a refreshing person, you're like, great. But if they're not a refreshing person, it's, or am I the only one? The other question you can ask is, how do you feel once that person's left? Do you feel refreshed or relieved? Yeah. So let me give you two things that refreshing people are. Number one, refreshing people are friendly. Write these proverbs down and have a read of them through the week. Proverbs 18:4. It says, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. Proverbs 25, verses 12 to 14. I'm reading from the Message. Reliable friends who do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat, refreshing. Beautiful, reliable friends. Proverbs 27, verse 9, also in the Message. Just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. Proverbs 15, 29. A friendly smile makes you happy, and good news makes you feel strong. So smiling at people, giving them good news. And then Proverbs 18:24, which I call one of the duh scriptures because it's so flippant obvious. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. Duh. It's true. Refreshing people are friendly. And so be interested in other people. Smile, listen, show compassion and understanding. Speak words of life and wisdom. Be reliable. Dale Carnegie put it this way: you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And this is not about being extrovert, all right? I want to speak to those of you who, you know, maybe you're a little quieter or you're a shy person, maybe a little introverted. That's fine. You be the person that God has created you to be, but be a friendly, shy, introverted person. It's possible, you know, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any way, but learn some basic skills. If you're shy, just learn anyway to look people directly in the eye. Have two or three questions up your sleeve that you can ask people when you're in conversation at the beginning, when you might feel a little uncomfortable. And most of us go through times of feeling uncomfortable when we're meeting new people. So I always have two or three questions ready. You know, what's your name is a good one to start with, you know. Tell me about your family. What do you do for a living? What do you enjoy doing? How is your week, you know? Tell me about one of the great things that happened during your week. Ask good questions. Be interested and engage with people in that way. And don't ask silly questions like, what do you know? You know, people ask that question. What do you know? I said, well, how long have you got? I know a lot of stuff. What do I know about what? Rhinoceri? I know something about octopi. I read it during the week. They dream. There you go. They dream. Is that? See, people were fascinated then. Did you hear that? Ooh. They don't know what they dream about, but they dream. There you go. So refreshing people are friendly. And secondly and finally, refreshing people are kind. Refreshing people are kind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, reading from the Message Bible. God bless Onesiphorus. God had to bless Onesiphorus because Onesiphorus was called Onesiphorus. God bless Onesiphorus and his family. Many's the time I've been refreshed in that house. Wow. What does that look like to you? We've talked about what is a refreshing person, but what's a refreshing house look like? So Paul had gone and visited Onesiphorus and his family, and in their home, in their environment, he had been refreshed. I trust that all of our households, whether we're in a family or whether we're single or a couple, that our dwelling place is a refreshing place for others to come. Many's the time I've been refreshed in that house. And he wasn't embarrassed a bit that I was in jail. The first thing he did when he got to Rome was look me up. May God on the last day treat him as well as he treated me. In other words, he's refreshed me. God, I pray that you will target him with refreshing. Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Church, we're coming into 40 days of prayer and fasting. And, you know, fasting is not about going hungry so that we can get what we want from God. That's not a fast, that's a hunger strike. God is not calling us to hunger strikes. He's calling us to fasting. Fasting in the Bible is always about going without something in order that somebody else doesn't go without something. It's about us sacrificing something in order to bless someone else. It's about being a refreshing person and bringing refreshing to others. So if you're going to go without something during the next 40 days, why don't you work out the cost of what you've gone without and donate that to bring refreshing to others? You might want to give it towards Matt's place, or you might want to donate it to the Forever Home. Make a difference. Bring refreshing to other people. You might want to do random acts of kindness for the next 40 days. And I'm thinking of doing something like that, just writing down 40 people that I would like to be kind to, that I would like to bring refreshing to. And imagine the impact of that. If we had 1,000 people at Bayside do acts of kindness for 40 days, that's 40,000 acts of kindness. Woo! The Bayside area would be majorly impacted by doing that. Or maybe you want to do a mixture over the next 40 days. Be prayerful and think about what you can do to bring refreshing to other people. Acts of kindness. Like the wealthy man who was being chauffeur-driven in his limousine one day, as he was looking out at the window, he saw a park with grass and two people, two men, on their knees in the park eating grass. He thought, that's not right. So he asked his chauffeur to stop the limousine, and the wealthy man got out of the car and he walked across to the poor men and he said, why are you eating grass? And they said, that's because we can't afford any other food. That's why we're eating grass. And so the rich man said, come with me and I'll help you. And the first guy said, but I've got a wife and three children. He said, go and get them. The second guy said, I've got a wife and seven children. And so the rich man said, well, go and get them. And the men brought their families back and they all squashed into this limousine and off they went together. And both the men said, thank you so much for helping out. And the wealthy man said, oh, it'll be a help to me too. My grass is about a meter high. Acts of kindness. Don't be like that. Why don't we pray together? That's terrible. That's why we need to pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word tonight. Lord God, that as we refresh others, we ourselves will be refreshed. May this truth not just be in our heads, but in our hearts, deeply sown in there and growing strong. Father, we consecrate ourselves to you at the beginning of this 40 days of prayer and fasting. I pray that in this place and at Frankston on Wednesday night, there will be hundreds and hundreds of people that will gather together to worship you, to join together to pray in unity, that we will see wonderful things come out of this season that we're entering in as a church. We just commit ourselves to you to that end. Father, right now I pray that you would just place within each and every one of our hearts what you would have us do in this season in order to bring refreshing to others. We want to be people of refreshing. We want to bring refreshment to others. May each of our homes be places where people come and are refreshed. May each and every one of us be people that when we walk toward others, they're thinking, great, I'm going to be encouraged and strengthened by this person. Do a deep work in each and every one of our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Just remain bowed in his presence, if you would, to give privacy for a moment to anyone in here who might want to commit their lives to Jesus Christ right now. And if that's you, if you would like a relationship with God through the person of Jesus, maybe you've lived for Jesus once, but you've drifted away and tonight it's time to come home. Or maybe this is something that you're sitting in the crowd and you're going, wow, I've never heard the Christian message like this before. I really want what these people are having. If that's resonating with you tonight, I want you just to lift your hand up nice and high while no one's looking around. anybody at all. God bless you there. It's wonderful. Anyone else like to join this lady tonight? God bless you in the middle there. That's great. Two people raised their hands. Anybody else? If you want Jesus in your life, you want a relationship with the living God, then just lift your hand up. I'm going to ask this one last time before we pray together. Okay, let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're all going to pray this together, okay? I want you to repeat this prayer. And the two people you just raised your hand, I want you to make this your prayer, okay? God's going to hear your prayer as you pray it sincerely, and He's going to respond to it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus. I believe on the cross, Jesus Christ gave his life for me. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. And fill me with your presence. I pray that as you refresh me, I will refresh others. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation in this place, shall we?
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.